United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain. My guest is painter Don Waters Baker, a summer 2018 artist in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park. Her work is in the collection of business and private owners, and she is affiliated with galleries in Dallas, Texas, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in New York, and in Philadelphia. Dawn, welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Thank you.
So I would love it if we could start off by hearing about emotional landscape.
Oh, thank you. Yes, everybody asks me that. What does that mean, right? What does that mean? I think I finally figured out that's how I tried to define it. Mm-hmm. What I think people like when they go to the landscape is they remember it and what they feel when they're in that place. Mm. Not so much maybe we try to capture it with a photograph, but usually the photograph doesn't do it completely, but we've at least captured it, you know, that. But we like to look back and remember those feelings we had, the awesome, you know, mountain, the river, whatever. And so I kind of try to get at that with my work. I'm not saying I do that all the time, but that's what I'm after, is really just the feeling of a place. I feel like every place that we go in has a memory. A feeling, a tone, a mood. Hmm. And actually there's the landscape speaking to us. Mm-hmm. So.
And you often work in large format, right?
Yes, actually I do. It's funny, I can't bring any of them here yet. but they're all, 55 by 55, 36 by 72. Mm-hmm. These are all inches.
Yeah.
But, quite large. And I think that's because the landscape is so vast, right? And it does seem right to do something big with that.
So, yes.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be able to do some of the landscapes from Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. When I get home. So.
Are you doing some studies? And
yes, lots and lots. So I'm trying to do at least two a day.
Wow.
When the light is so beautiful, and especially the morning and the evening light, when the light bends. I think there's something very spiritual to that thought, that when the light bends, when it's bowing, you know, that it is most beautiful. And so there's this wonderful, like, emotion that comes out. It's almost like the veil is lifted in a way, and we get to really see the landscape for what it is when the light's so good. And so that's when I try to get out. And then I can also kind of not be around so many people, if I'm honest. So, and nothing against people. Just, it's nice to kind of have the part to yourself a little bit.
Yeah, that must be quite incredible.
It is. It's nice and quiet, and I'm very contemplative, if I can use that word.
Yeah.
It's something very spiritual to me about that. And I read the Bible. I look at the Psalms and I think it's just full of nature and words of nature. Mm-hmm. And I worry that we're slowly losing what those words mean. Mm. And so we don't understand what the Psalm is really saying anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's just important to me as an artist just to kind of highlight that so people might see it again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Experience? I don't know. So.
And are you working mostly in oils, or could you say something about technically about the way that you work?
So it is oils.
Yeah.
And it's layers, different layers of oils. So mm-hmm. I use a glaze, sometimes a glaze. I try to build them up over time. So a large work can take like a month or two. The studies go pretty quickly. I can do them in a couple days once it's dry and stuff. But yeah, there's something wonderful about it in a way. I'm an impatient person by nature, and so painting makes me slow down the time. And I have to, like, give it over and wait. And in that waiting, I find a lot of times there's something that comes to my mind or my heart, my spirit, something there that it was best that I did wait, you know. And then, oh, let me try that instead, you know. And it's something really, I guess, humbling to me about seeing something created over a longer period mm-hmm. of time than just very quickly. I have nothing against digital formats or anything. I think they're wonderful, but I don't know, something, I just like the process of being long. It teaches me something that I need, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not a very human person, so.
Well, and also when you were talking about the layering, oh, it's interesting, the paintings of yours that I've looked at have a real sense of, I mean, beyond atmosphere, I would almost say air. Mm. Like, when you look at them, you can feel there's, you know, there's a sort of characteristic of the air, you know, what you're looking through. Mm. Like, there really is, there's a certain substantial quality there I think must be influenced through these layers. It's really interesting.
Thank you. I'm after that. I'm trying to get a space for our thoughts to sit. Hmm. If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I like mist so much, this veiling, mm-hmm. you know, this mystery, perhaps the word is, and I know Gettysburg is great for that. So.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful for that. So I've been excited seeing every morning just getting up, oh, my goodness, there it is. And I'll go out and just take a bunch of pictures. I'll paint. I'll, you know, it's wonderful.
So. Is there anything that you'd like to say about the particular project or, mm-hmm. or your concept here during your residency in Gettysburg?
Yes. It is a lot different than what I was doing. I was artist in residence of couple of years ago in Big Bend National Park, mm-hmm. and of course this vast landscape, beautiful, gorgeous light. But here in Gettysburg, although beautiful, it has a weight of memory, you know. And I'm not so much interested in the military maneuvers, although I did read a lot of books mm-hmm. before I came, just wanting to understand what did happen. Mm-hmm. But I'm really after what the landscape is narratively telling us about death and life, and just those perhaps larger human questions. And I think it's very heavy with that. I think I'll tell you a story. I was walking in the wheat field there at Gettysburg, and the light was so beautiful, and I was about to stand on this rock in front of me to get a better view of the field. And as I looked down at the rock was literally split in two. So there was a split down this middle of the rock, and in the middle of the rock were these beautiful white flowers that had bloomed. And I thought to myself, my goodness, the landscape's telling us right there. I mean, it's such a metaphor. Everywhere I go, there's metaphor. And that's a very simple one, but it just takes time and just kind of listening, perhaps is the word, mm-hmm. listening to the landscape. And so that's kind of how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I'm there at the farmhouse at night, and it's just me and the, you know, and the lightning bugs. And it has this strange feeling to be in this old home and on this landscape that holds so much death. And yet there's this beauty. Mm-hmm. So there's always constantly tension. And I think that's what I'm trying to get at in the work I'm going to be doing is holding that tension. We sit between that, I think, as human beings, don't we? Beauty and horror, life and death. And so this work is really different for me in a way mm-hmm. because of that. Mm-hmm. And it had to have occurred through the war.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to me as I look at the sides too. I've just been blown away by the courage on all sides that you read about. I especially enjoyed the video as we went into the visitor center, of more of the African American experience that was going on as well. And I was so in awe looking at the Bryan Farm, who was a free African American man, and there he was at the high water mark. And I thought to myself, wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't learn that. And so these all mixed together, juxtaposed, sitting next to one another, and what do we do with it? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the landscape telling us? And to me, it's neat because he's there because he's a farmer. Mm-hmm. He's there because he has a piece of land. And these two opposing armies are there because of the topography and the streets that came into this place. And so it's really heavy with so much metaphor, but there's so much you can get overwhelmed. I'm sorry to keep blabbing, but
well, the land is like a character too, right?
It is.
I mean, it's very much a part of the way things unfold, and even the fact that the battle happened in Gettysburg was because of the way these roads came together.
Yes.
Like the land really played a role.
So come here this way, you know, right? I'm so I was so interested in this high. We want the high ground, and you look at how much fighting was done over really topography.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those bends and folds and the valleys that, I mean, I hate to be so, but they make up our life, right?
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And those are also the places that hold the mist so beautifully, and the light as it bends and over the topography. So there's something there, I think, something spiritual there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Could you say something about how your growing up influenced the fact that you have become an artist?
Yeah.
And I mean, you have an interesting childhood. Would you mind saying something about that?
Sure. Thank you. So I was born and raised in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were missionaries. I have another sister, and my brother passed away while we were there. I was there till I was 19.
Okay.
And the people are just so beautiful, such beautiful people. But there was always these two sort of running themes in my life. There was this vast suffering of people, poverty and disease, just lots of strife, you know, with them politically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also this beauty, this incredible beauty, not only in the beautiful people, but the landscape. We lived literally under the shadow of a volcano, Mount Isorog, and it was, people always say, oh, volcanoes are gray and black, and they probably are in Hawaii, but in the Philippines, they're very beautiful purples and blues and all shades of greens, and so I can remember that affecting me, just was so peaceful to me, even though it was a volcano, right? So it was always these two running themes of this sort of human suffering and yet also this beauty that I was compelled to. And it took me a while, though, to become a landscape painter, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be, you know, I went to college and I was like, I was going to be Martin Rothko, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and of course, I'm not. But I loved his work and I still do.
Uh-huh.
But I remember working with a mentor of mine and she was like, tell me about, you know, this work you've been doing here. There's and I started talking about the landscape, and she said, let me stop you right there. Your voice changed when you started to talk about the landscape.
Wow.
And I just needed someone to point that out to me, you know.
Uh-huh.
I never thought about that. I never heard that before. And she's like, yeah, I think you found the thing that really stirs you, you know. And so that helped me to kind of let go. And then she said, well, who are your favorite artists? And they were always, you know, George O'Keefe and Emily Carr. And I thought, yeah, so this whole time it's always been there. I just had someone to have to point it out to me sometimes, you know. The obvious, I guess, but it wasn't as obvious to me. But yeah, definitely my upbringing has helped me kind of look at the, even in Dallas, I like to say the underbelly of my city. And I actually find a lot of beauty there.
Mm-hmm.
If you look for it, just in any place, I'm sure, in any person. Aren't we all a mixture of things, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned Rothko. I was recently at the Phillips Collection, and he has this room with these four, you know, it feels like a little chapel, basically, and there was some, he intentionally wanted it to be set up this way with these four paintings. And I was just thinking about this kind of, for lack of a better term, air quality that I sense, you know, that I've seen in your paintings.
Mm.
And even though the Rothkos are abstract, there is also a certain quality to what he does. There is a certain something almost tangible about the air. I mean, they're not landscapes, and yet I was just thinking of this room and what it was like also to look without any other distractions, just at these four and one on each wall, right?
Oh, wonderful. That must be. Oh, I thank you. That's one of the kindest compliments. I like his layers. Mm-hmm. They're breathed, soft layer across each, and then they're softly done, and you don't know it till you see a real Rothko how many layers have been built upon that. And you're right, it's like swimming into a deep thing, and one's coming at you and one's going away from you, it always feels like. And that's like the landscape, isn't it? It is. But yes, he's a very beautiful painter and a beautiful hand.
And with in the landscape at any given moment is not exactly the same as it was, right, an hour ago or whatever, right? And also, so when when a person is present in a landscape, it's also, there's a certain sense of, this generally looks the same. There's a sort of continuum, and yet it is not identical to what it was before. This sort of sense of change is there too. So when any of us are present somewhere, it's like we leave, and what we're taking with us, we're also, is not exactly the same as what someone else in a couple of months who's standing in that same place.
What a wonderful
experience,
thought,
right?
What a wonderful thought. I mean, because we're bringing ourselves, aren't we? I mean, the very self is changed by the self being there. And I do believe I will take away so much from being in the space, not just to define my art, but who I am, my own walk, my own living, that it will definitely change me. You know, this sounds silly, but as I was leaving my home in Dallas, I had this feeling as I was leaving my own space. You know, you get used to your things being certain places, and I was thinking, I won't be the same when I come back. I remember feeling that. And that's a neat thought. It's a neat thought. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so you're like this embodied landscape now. That's very cool.
That's awesome.
Wow, well, I really wish you a wonderful, fruitful time here. Rest of your experience in Gettysburg. And it will be exciting to see later the results of your work and your experience when these paintings are completed. And you're also going to be doing one public talk, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I believe it. The last. I'm sorry. I think it's August 10th, Friday, at the Visitor Center. I'll be showing the studies I've been doing, and it's really a meet and greet kind of thing. And I'll talk a little bit, but I actually have slated in Dallas a solo show for Gettysburg.
Wow.
So you can pray for me. It's already called Civil. It'll be called Civil. And then it'll be in March 2019. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So this spring already. Wow.
Yeah. So I've been ramping up for a year though with it because of all the reading.
Yeah.
And just trying to get that in me somehow to kind of understand. But being in the landscape really has helped that reading just much more. If I could say to anyone, please come and see the landscape. It's just magnificent to really get at it, you know. I think every American should see a battlefield, and we are, in some regards, we're very, I don't want to say blessed, it's a war, but I'm glad we can see one on our own soil, if I can say that.
Yeah.
I saw many in the Philippines, but it's hard for many Americans to travel that far to see, you know, but here we can, you know. And there's something about landscape that's very American, isn't it? We travel, we emigrate from many places to come and have a piece of land. And, and here at this land, we all meet to look and see what happened and understand and define ourselves. I was reading, one man said, the Civil War defined who we were. Well, I think you also have to look at the landscape to understand that, mm-hmm. you know, it's in the context of it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's held our dead, you know, and as we live.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not also be in it? But anyway, but yes, thank you. I appreciate your kind thoughts and we'll see what happens. So.
Excellent. You've been listening to The Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain. My guest is painter Dawn Waters Baker, artist in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park. Visit her website at www.dawnwatersbaker.com and look for the upcoming March show. Thank you so much for your time, Dawn.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.